Welcome again to New Life. Glad you're here. And that's sort of, it's like the excitement is building, right? We're getting close to Christmas and two more Sundays. And today is traditionally the Sunday of Advent in which we reflect on joy. And we'll be speaking about joy as well, but I'm also deeply aware that at Christmas time, that joy sometimes is muted somewhat. And so I want to just take a moment, and before I start preaching here, to offer a prayer together, because for some of us, Christmas perhaps has some difficult memories. And particularly this Christmas, we've had several people who have suffered some loss this week. Corey Lundstra, we've been praying for her sister for quite some time, and Corey's sister passed away this week, and so we want to remember her. John Ficktree, his dad just passed away. Eric Hugenrad's mom just passed away this past week, and Sherry Drader, member of our congregation, continues to struggle with a serious illness, and we have several shut-ins as well. And so why don't we gather together and lift these folks up in prayer? Perhaps there's others as well, and so we want to commit that to our God. Let's pray together. Father, we're gathering around your word, eagerly expecting a word of encouragement and a word of comfort and a word of joy in this Christmas season. And Father, we look eagerly for that. And yet at the same time, we're deeply aware that for some of us at least, this is a difficult time. And so we uphold these people that we've mentioned to you in prayer. We pray that you will bring comfort and peace, and that even so, joy will shine through as well in this Christmas season. God, we would love for our lives to always be filled with light and joy. And yet we confess that sometimes there is darkness and struggle and difficulty and discouragement. And so we pray, Father, that your presence will enlighten us and encourage us to press on in following Jesus. And may we be faithful in seeking the light of the world. We pray that as we hear your word, you will bless it to our lives, and that it may strengthen us to be faithful witnesses of your glory and of your salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So yes, we've been in this Advent season reflecting on light. And myself, I've been, as I've been working on this theme, been impressed with how big of a theme it actually is in Scripture. We began in the first Sunday of Advent looking at Genesis 1, and where God speaks into the darkness the message of hope, let there be light, and there was light. And then last week we took a look at the Gospel of John, where John records Jesus' words addressing the crowds of people, saying, I am the light of the world. And this morning we're looking, as Mike mentioned, at a passage in Matthew chapter 5, known as the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus, somewhat surprisingly, I think, actually, commissions us with the words, you are the light of the world. So let's hear these words from Matthew chapter 5. Just after the Beatitudes, where Jesus characterizes the kind of people that make up the kingdom of God. And they're not very impressive looking people, actually. Poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted. And then he goes on to say, you are the salt of the earth in verse 13. And then in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Light. Light in the Bible refers to different things a lot of times, but they all point to God somehow. Sometimes light refers to Jesus, as we reflected on last week, I am the light of the world. It can also refer to God's people, or to Zion in the Old Testament, referred to Israel, or to followers of Jesus, as we're looking at today. Paul, even later on in the letters to the churches, refers to light as armor that we put on in the midst of a world of darkness. Put on the armor of light, he says. But in every case, light always points to the revelation of God. Always to the revelation of God. That is, to be light is to point to God being revealed in a world of darkness, in a world where we would otherwise not see him. Light has come. When Jesus makes the declaration that you are the light of the world, then the mission for us, that the mandate that Jesus places on us, is not to save the world, not to do spectacular things, not to do great things. The mission of light is to testify to the revelation of God. Because God accomplishes his mission of saving the world. Our job is to reveal that work that God is doing in this world. Paul says it this way in Philippians chapter 2. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God, he says. That is, light. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. That's the dark. Paul says, then, when you are children of God in this wicked and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Reflections of the light. It's about reflected light. You and I, when Jesus calls us, you are the light of the world, it's about reflected light. Scientists call that albedo. Not that I know that, but I read about it. They call it albedo, funny kind of name, but and it's got this big, long, fancy definition that took me like a day and a half to figure out what it actually meant, even though I understood every English word in the dictionary. But it simply refers to how reflective and how bright something is. It's a ratio or a percentage, actually, that compares the amount of light hitting an object and then compared to how much gets reflected back. So, for instance, when the sun shines on the snow, then snow's albedo is 90%. That means 90% of the light that shines upon the snow gets reflected back, which is why when it's really sunny out, you have to wear sunglasses when you're in the snow, right? Skiing or whatever. In comparison, one of the brightest night lights in the sky is Venus, the planet Venus. Venus has an albedo of 65%. And so the moon, right? Moon's obviously visible, at least on a clear night. It has an albedo of 7%. just 7%, which actually you think, oh man, I wish it was higher. But actually, it's a good thing, right? Because if it was 90%, you wouldn't have night. It would be as light as day, right? So 7%, it's like a nightlight, right? It's cool. Albedo, the reflection of light. So when Jesus says, you are the light of the world, it's about reflecting the revelation of God. Now, if I were a fire and brimstone preacher, I could probably shift this into a gear where I would ask you, so what's your spiritual albedo? And the expectation, of course, would be, man, it's got to be close to 100%. And then we could rail on each other about how we fail to be 100% albedo and all of this kind of stuff. But Jesus' statement here isn't really about that. It's not about a contest about who can be brighter. Just as it's a good thing that the moon is 7%, so also the way we reflect the revelation of God is going to be different. But when Jesus says, you are the light of the world, he's not making a command to us to say, come on, be a better light. He's simply saying, you are light in this world. As a follower of Jesus, when you follow Jesus, you are light. It's a blessing. It's a declaration. It's not anything you have to do. It's just who you are. It's your identity when you follow Jesus. You are the light. A statement of fact. Now consider that. When you place your trust in Jesus, you then, as if automatically, reflect the revelation of God. That's a powerful thing. That is a tremendous blessing as you live your lives in this dark world. You are the light. It's amazing. A tremendous blessing. And perhaps we don't always realize that. Tony Campolo tells the story of his friend who was a grandpa, and this grandpa takes a little granddaughter to the Midway, to the fair, a state fair it happened to be, and in the States. And they're walking through, and the little girl buys a cotton candy that's taller than she is. And Grandpa says to her, now, come on, there's no way that you're going to be able to eat all of that. It's taller than you are. To which the little girl said, yeah, but Grandpa, you don't know that I'm bigger on the inside than on the outside. And that's sort of what it's like for us. When Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And you go, yeah, I know, but I can't be a light because I got too many problems and too many and people make me mad and I'm fed up with this and I'm discouraged by that. But you're brighter on the inside than you might be on the outside. You are the light of the world. It's what Jesus says. You see, it's not enough. It's not enough to be cozy as a Christian. You proclaim a Savior to a broad community of people. People sometimes who make you mad and angry and crazy. But you proclaim a Savior to people lost and lonely and lifeless. It's not enough simply to feed hungry stomachs. You are a message of hope that can satisfy people's hungry soul. You're the light. It's not enough to be against immorality and berate people for such bad behavior. You are the conscience of a society out there, turning its thoughts to love and mercy and grace. It's not enough to be against violence. You reflect the life-giving power of joy and peace. It's not enough to take care of your own self-interests. You speak out for the well-being of the poor, the disadvantaged, the downtrodden. You are the light in this world. The way we live our lives, our very lives, and how we connect with others is about connecting them to God, because we reflect the revelation of God. That's God's mission in the world for you and I. Light is the mission. We ought to be reflecting the revelation of God. And light, that light is not just some mission we're burdened with, like, okay, I'll try to be reflective. No, it's a mission of joy. Jesus explains that if you have a light, you're likely not going to cover it. Particularly in ancient times, light wasn't just a flick of a switch and electricity passed through a light bulb, but it was holding an earthen pot with olive oil in it and a wick. And if you lit that, that meant you were spending expensive oil. And so what Jesus means here is simply pointing out the ridiculous. You wouldn't light that lamp and then put a bowl over it. That is, wouldn't make sense. It's not a matter of, don't do that, that's a naughty thing to do. It's a matter of, you just wouldn't do that. That's just dumb. Light shines. That's the very nature of light. It just shines. You can't not let it shine. You can't stop it. And then the same way, then Jesus switches image and he says, look, if you're going to build a city that you don't want anybody to notice, don't build it on a hillside, because people are going to see a city on a hill. They're going to see it. If you want a hidden town, then put it in a valley. Put it somewhere where it's not observable. In other words, what Jesus is trying to convey to us is not so much, don't do that, that's a bad thing to do. What he's trying to convey to us is that when he makes the declaration, the blessing, that you are the light of the world, he's saying, you will shine, and my mission will be accomplished through you. You won't fail. It's a note of confidence towards accomplishing God's mission. Why? Well, because, as Jesus says at the end of Matthew's gospel, where he picks up this theme again, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. That will be fulfilled. Why? Because Jesus has all the power and the glory. All authority has been given to him. It's a daunting task, perhaps, for us to realize that, yeah, we are to be reflections of God's revelation in this world. We're to be a reflection of joy in this world. And sometimes we make it sound as if that mission is, well, a burden that we'll accept, but, you know, it's a burden nevertheless. Or maybe we make it sound like a commandment, maybe even a harsh one, like, I'm just not made that way, but I guess because God's told me I had to. No. No, Jesus makes this declaration as a blessing filled with joy. You get to be light in a world of darkness. That's amazing. that we get to reflect something of the revelation of God. You and I, little old you and me. We reflect God, something of God in this world. It's a mission of joy. It's something that Matthew reflects on in the chapter before, in chapter 4, when Jesus begins his ministry, where the contrast is unmistakable. Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, that's the darkness of this world, he withdrew to Galilee, even darker. Nothing good happens in Galilee, apparently. To fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, that's in Galilee, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. I mean, that's just a description of a dark, dark, dark world. The people living in darkness, Matthew writes, have seen a great light. Wow. I mean, when you're able to turn on a light as you stumble around in darkness, finally when that light is on, right? Maybe you rush downstairs in the basement and all the lights are off and you're stumbling around and somebody left a box and you trip over the box and finally you're able to, you know, figure out how to turn the flashlight on your phone and now you see what's going on. Right? That's pure joy. That's what Matthew's talking about here. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. That is a joyful message. A message filled with thrill and excitement, and that you and I get to be a part of. A message of comfort and peace that blesses people just as Jesus blesses you with the declaration that you are light. You get to bless other people by sharing in that joy. So it's not just a matter of joy for those who receive the message. It's joy for you and me as we are the message bearers. I mean, Jesus means this to be encouragement as you live your lives in this world to say, don't just walk around in your life moping around thinking, oh, my life is so hard and Jesus puts this extra burden on me. You are the light of the world. That means you walk around as a representation of joy in this world. That's an amazing calling. And sometimes that joy is muted, as I mentioned earlier. Sometimes that joy has a cloud over it, and we say, well, the joy is not complete. But just as we talked about last week, if your life is constantly filled with full of light, you'll lose sight of the source of light. But when there is darkness, you look hard for the light, and you can see it. Light is seen better in the darkness. I mean, if we shone a spotlight on this wall right here, the beauty of these twinkling little lights would disappear, right? So also, as a bearer of joy, if your life is constantly full of joy, well, you'd lose sight of joy itself. But in the midst of the difficulties of life, as you bear joy, people are going to say, how does that person dare to walk around with that kind of sentiment in this kind of a world? And then you've got a message to tell. There's a legend from the Christians living in the catacombs during the Roman Empire when Christians were persecuted. This is in the beginning days of a fledgling church, followers of Jesus. And there's a story that that Christians began to imagine when Jesus had returned to heaven. And he's greeted in heaven by the angel Gabriel, the very same angel who had given the message to the likes of Zechariah when John the Baptist was going to be born, the likes of Joseph when he told him to stay with Mary, even though Joseph said, oh, I think I'm just going to do away with this. This is too embarrassing. And then also angel Gabriel came with the news of the birth of Jesus to Mary. So as the story goes, Jesus ascends into heaven after his death and resurrection. He enters into heaven and he meets the angel Gabriel. So this is a legend. This isn't necessarily true, but this is a story that the Christians developed to encourage themselves. And so the angel Gabriel greets Jesus and says, well, okay, after all the work that you did, who did you leave behind to carry on your work? So Jesus tells them about, well, I left some disciples down there. They're fishermen, which isn't saying much, and back then. And I left some shepherds. Shepherds were essentially the losers in society back then. I left some women, which women weren't in that culture, regarded very highly. So he names all these people, disciples, shepherds, housewives. Gabriel worries that it might not be good enough, the kind of people that Jesus left behind. And so Gabriel asks, well, you left those people behind, but what if they fail? Like, then what? To which Jesus says, well, then I guess all the work I've done will come to nothing. Which gets Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, very worried, and he hopes that there is at least a plan B. Is there a plan B? Jesus says, no. And Gabriel says, but what if they fail? Gabriel, says Jesus, they will not fail. They will not fail. That is the declaration. That is the blessing that Jesus places upon you and me. You are the light of the world. And we say, what if I'm not a light? Jesus says, you are the light. What if I don't shine bright enough? You are the light. You will shine as a follower of Jesus. And so in this Christmas season, especially perhaps, we need to hear the angel's voice to Joseph, to Zechariah, to Mary. When the angel comes to them, and says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And it's easy, I suspect, as followers of Jesus, to give in to the fear, to be afraid in a world filled with upheaval. I mean, just take a look around. International relations among the countries of the world is probably at an all-time low. Certainly a lot of tenuous and uncertain relationships. Economies are changing. Things don't seem to be as promising as they used to. Standards of living seem to be diminishing. Social values are turning upside down, making us uncomfortable, disappointed, even angry. Lots of discord in the world. A world of darkness can be a threatening place. But you are the light of the world. You have a message of joy. You are joy in this world. More than receiving a declaration as a mandate, we receive it then as a blessing. We carry in our churches, in our homes, in our individual lives, a message of hope. We present to people wrapped in fear and anger a proclamation of peace. We are joy in a world filled with misery. Isaiah chapter 55 says this, You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. An almost ridiculous picture, but a picture nevertheless of the blessing that Jesus leaves upon us to say, you are the light of the world. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we confess that a lot of times we live in this world filled with fear, where we're wondering, God, because we don't know the future, and sometimes it looks uncertain, and sometimes the events of our world or the events in our community or perhaps even the events in our own lives, in our own homes, scare us, make us fearful, and we wonder. We wonder if there is any joy, any hope. And so help us, God, to receive your word this morning, a word of blessing, a word of declaration that it's not up to us, but that you have already accomplished your purpose in this world and you have brought light into this present darkness. So help us to embrace that with a sense of joy, Father. Plant that joy in our hearts, even in the midst of sadness, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of fear. And may we not only see the light, but be the light in this dark world. And so we trust you, Father. We place our lives in your hands. We follow hard after Jesus, knowing that he is the author and perfecter of our faith. We pray for courage, for strength, for blessing, as we seek to live out our identity as light for the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.